we speak to Professor Irina Filatova, Emeritus Professor at UKZN, about emerging economies and a focus on Russia. Good morning, Professor. Really appreciate your time. Let's start with floods in the Orenburg region affecting parts of Russia and of Kazakhstan.
You know, Lester, Russia has been plagued by emergencies recently. Last time we spoke about the terrorist, awful terrorist act, in which now, as we know, more than 180 people died and 500 wounded and so on. Last week, a bridge collapsed in the Saratov region. Also, several people were wounded and one woman died and so on. And now the whole country is speaking about the floods in the Orenburg region. Now, what happened was that on the 5th April, a dam which was designed to prevent exactly such events collapsed, and the waters of the Ural River started to flood the city, town of Orsk. It is a town of about 200,000 people, and it is mostly a town of lower houses, one-story, two-story buildings. So practically the whole town was flooded, and people lost everything in the houses which were flooded up to their roofs. Animals perished, people lost all their belongings, and quite a dreadful event. They were not warned about this disaster. They were not warned even in the areas which were not flooded immediately. They were not told to evacuate. So that was quite bad. By now, the floods continued and went to the capital of the region, Orenburg, which is about 300 kilometers away from Orsk, and this is now a 500,000 population town, and the same is going on there. Of course, there are more high-rise buildings of many more floors, but still, the lower-lying houses, the lower-lying areas are all flooded, and the floods spread even to Kazakhstan. We can speak about the climate change and about such disasters that happen everywhere, but in fact, the dam from which the whole thing started was built exactly to prevent it, and it was not repaired. It was not looked after properly. The city did not give enough money to repair it. The people warned that the dam was leaking, but were told that it is all right and that it will stand. Nothing will happen. So the mayor preferred to spend the money on decorating the city, flower beds, etc., etc. But ultimately, that is what happened. The state is suggesting to give the people about 10,000 rubles, those who suffered in the floods. But 10,000 rubles is about 2,000 rands. It's just with approximately the same buying capacity. You can't restore the house on that. You can't buy the furniture on that. You can't buy beds on that. And it's still very cold in Russia. Yeah.
So more an impact of negligence, but also add that to a changing climate with extreme weather. Let's move to the attitude of the Russian Orthodox Church. Why has this been a topic of conversation, particularly in a time of war? Also, what's been happening to dissident priests?
You know, Lester, a Russian Orthodox Church supported the war from the beginning, the war in Ukraine. And in 2022, Patriarch Cyril ordered all the priests to pray for the victory of Russia, victory of sacred Russia against those who turned on the sacred Russia. Of course, it is important for Cyril to keep the the flock together, because there is Russian Orthodox Church in each of the countries which are now either in the European Union or in Ukraine or in Moldova. So he didn't think that this position will put them in a very difficult situation, because they will have either to pray for the defeat of Ukraine, which they don't want to, or they have to go against his orders. So that is one thing. Even in Russia, some of the priests do not want to follow that order, and they started to add for the victory of sacred Russia to the prayer, and to for the well-being of Ukraine. And this, of course, is disallowed, and several priests were dethroned. For example, a very well-known Moscow priest, Alexey Umansky, was dethroned in January. Another priest, Father Gregory, was dethroned, and the tape with the procedure that he went through with the church before being demoted was published, and everybody is discussing that tape. Father Gregory said was that he cannot use the prayer which invites one Christian to kill another Christian, because this is what victory means. So this is a very difficult situation for many Christians now.
Professor Irina Filatova, really appreciate your time. Professor Emeritus at UKZN with Emerging Economies and a Focus on Russia.
Weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m.
Good morning, Cape Town. Only with Lester Kibbett
on Cape Talk.
Lester, I am 64 years old, and we were taught road safety at primary school, i.e. road rules for pedestrians, etc. This theory could be followed into high school, increasing to the theory of driving. Some schools have outsourced for extra and offer learner's license in grade 11 and 12, depending on the learner's age. Some schools have also taken the initiative themselves to do other things, like also the application for ID, because I think it's very important if we can try and do and streamline that all within a curriculum. I know schools take on a lot, and some teachers and principals are going to say, no, not more paperwork for us. But I think it helps the country. I think it helps us. I think we should try and streamline our bureaucratic practices. But Lester, I completely agree with getting young people licensed to drive. A taxi driver once told me, if you have a driver's, you will never starve. But the last voice note came from a place of privilege. Not all parents are around, never mind having a suitable car for teaching teenagers how to drive.